song was talking about washing our sins away. Wash all our sins away. Only us human beings can sing that. The angels will never be able to sing that. The angels have never sinned. So they cannot utter, they cannot mean the words of that song. I'm a little emotional coming up here, you know, just pondering upon the message of the song. On the way here, I was driving. You know, driving now has been a very different thing for me ever since I found the Lord. I found a way to actually talk to someone while driving, you know, meditate on God. And I was talking to God. And I asked God, I prayed to God, God, you know, give us a miracle today. Send a miracle, you know. I really pray that, Lord, give us a miracle today. I was thinking, you know, people are gone. And I was telling people, hey, people are still going to be here. You know, there's going to be a lot of people. There are a lot of people here, praise the Lord. But that wasn't the miracle I was looking for. The spirit of prophecy says that the greatest miracle is a changed heart. And I never would imagine, you know, hearing the words from Pastor Shadow, who was telling me, and it's really brought joy in my heart that Brother Troy accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a miracle, my brothers and sisters. We have witnessed a miracle today. That is the greatest miracle that can ever happen. I was praying there, you know, while they were singing, and I said, man, I wish Jericho was here, you know. I can't wait to tell him. I really can't wait to tell him. Brother Troy was, we were living for quite some time at Laxford. We shared some good times and some of the good bad times. I just praise God, you know, that he's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can do that. Now he gets to sing that song, you know, wash all my sins away. Only Jesus can wash all our sins away. Shall we bow our heads as we seek the Lord one more time? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you have wrought a great work, a great miracle already this morning. And I know you're continuously giving us the blessing, showing us the miracles of what the blood of Christ can do. But yet again, oh Father, the Sabbath is not yet at an end. We still have one more message to be heard in this church. And without your Holy Spirit, oh Lord, we won't be able to hear that message properly. We won't be able to understand. We won't be able to comprehend the message that you're about to give. And so though we know that your Holy Spirit is here with us, I ask that you also take away the hindrances that are blocking the door so that we may let the Holy Spirit come into our hearts. May He come into our hearts this morning, O Lord, I plead. Speak through your servant. Sanctify my heart. That the words that are spoken comes straight, directly from the heavenly sanctuary into the ears of your people. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Are you really happy?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to switch off a little bit. The clicker is not working, so I'm just going to have to stand there a little bit. I'm not going to ask you to come forward anymore or anything like that. I think where you are, you have people around you, so at least you feel the warmth. If not, there are holy angels that are with us. Let's continue to ask that those holy angels would continue to manifest their power against the evil angels so that there won't be any distractions while we listen to the presentation this morning. Hold on, Yuri, I think it's on Street Saber.
Where?
Put it on Soul Saver.
Where's the mic?
Put it on Soul Saver.
Put it on Soul Saver. Do you need me to press the input? I think that is not my PowerPoint.
It was on there.
One more? But anyways, when Brother Gene Manners, you know, asked me the title for my message or what the message is all about, I said, man, you know, he woke me up. I wasn't awake, but I was praying at that time when he called. I think it was either in the morning or in the evening. But it was a point wherein I was caught off guard. I said, man, like, I don't have a title yet for my message, but I know what it's going to be about. It's going to be about the love of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. It's just magnify the love of Jesus Christ. The title of the message, by the way, is Cleansed/Born Again. Praise the Lord for the special music talking about cleansing, washing the sins away. Today we will see that Jesus Christ is a divine cleanser, a divine cleaner. He's a me. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. John chapter 2, I like the book of John, particularly it's one of my favorite Bible, and I have not done a thorough study of it. But the book of John talks more of the divinity of Christ. It talks more of what now of Christ?
Divinity.
The divinity of Christ, the Godship, the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ. And what we're turning to in John chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, is actually the cleansing of the temple. And yeah, we will actually go all the way down to verse 21. John chapter 2, verse 13 through 21. This is now in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the time when he hasn't transfigured yet. This was the time when he only has wrought probably about one miracle, maybe some miracles that are not recorded in the Bible, but in the Bible he has only recorded one instance of miracle wherein he changes the water into wine or grape juice. And after that, it says in the Bible, verse 13, and the Jews' Passover, there was a feast day for the Jewish nation, was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, verse 14, and found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and what else? Doves. Sold, let me repeat it, oxen, sheep, and doves. How many is that?
Three.
And the changers of money sitting. You're very familiar with the story. A very common story where Jesus goes into the temple and starts turning tables around because the temple was now being a place of unholy traffic. Instead of a church, it had become a business for people. You know, my dad, my biological father, has joined several kinds of churches. And right now, he won't even join a church anymore. One of the churches that he has joined, he saw, somehow, Satan had shown him that in that church, maybe God has shown him, but Satan had magnified the wrong things. That in that church, all the pastor was all about, all the preacher was all about was money. He looked at the preacher has lots of gold in him. The preacher had nice rings. And now he wouldn't even step in there into a church because he thinks that church is just business. When I talk to him about Seventh-day Adventism, my religion, he says, hey, so how's the church? Isn't the church a business? And so this is a similar thing that Jesus is seeing. Church has now become a business. It's not a place for comfort anymore. And in verse 15, the Bible says, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he basically took some cords and he made a whip out of them. And he said there, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Verse 16 is very interesting. Look what the Bible says. And said unto them that sold, what now?
Doves.
Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Do not make a church a business place. Now, if you did not catch that, in verse 15, he drove the oxen and the sheep away. What did he not drive out? The doves. I think it's click on the moment. The dove.
What is it about the dove? Let me just arrange this. I cannot see my notes.
What is it about the doves? Well, let me turn with me to Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 5. Just put your finger there and then turn to Leviticus chapter 5, verse 7. Leviticus chapter 5 shows us the different, many different kinds of offerings. When God told the Israelites, hey, you're supposed to offer sacrifices for me, he ordained bullocks or young bulls to be sacrificed. He also ordained young goats or kids to be sacrificed. He also ordained young sheep or young lambs, or young sheep, which are lambs, to be sacrificed. But he also ordained doves. And in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, you guys are fast, you're already there. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, so there are many different kinds of offering, okay? Now at this time, the Bible is telling us, if you're not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he had committed, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons unto the Lord. One for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. Let's turn back to the book of Job. In the Jewish economy, there are, very much like us, there are people that are rich, there are people that are mediocre, there are people that are poor. Rich people, because they are rich, they can afford more, the sacrifices are great. Hence, the more knowledge you have, the greater responsibility you have. A rich person is supposed to bring a young bullock or a young bull. A mediocre person is able to afford a lamb, sometimes a goat or a kid, which is needed. And they're supposed to bring a kid or a lamb. Now there are those that are not able to afford any of these. And praise the Lord has blessed them with lots of turtle doves on the field that any poor man can catch for free and offer it for free. Now in this parable, Jesus says that there are people inside the sanctuary, inside the temple, that are selling that which is supposed to be free. Hence, making it hard for people that are poor not to be able to go anymore and sacrifice. Jesus is making sure when he overturned that, and in verse 16, he talked to the very people that said, that was selling doves. He says, take these things out of my father's house. You're not supposed to be selling doves. Doves are supposed to be for poor people. Application of the lesson. We, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church sometimes, we in the Christian church, we make it hard for sinners to come to God. We make it seem like they need to buy. Somehow they need to be better to be able to even come to church. You and I do not magnify our sins, but we tend to magnify their sins. As if we're any better than them. You and I do not talk more that we are very sinful people. That's why we cannot reach out to them, and that it's only Christ that gives righteousness, so that they're pointed to Christ instead of being pointed to my righteousness, to our righteousness. Did you catch the point? Let's continue on. By the way, who else offered a dove? In Luke chapter 2, actually, verse 24, you don't have to turn there, but let's just read this. The babe of Bethlehem, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Though the King of Glory was not entrusted to wealthy parents, his was a lowly lot. When presented in the temple, his parents could not offer anything but the offering of the poor. A pair of turtle doves, young pigeons. This offering was made in behalf of Jesus. What is this passage telling us? What is this quote telling us? Jesus was poor. Jesus made sure when he came down here on earth that regardless whether you're poor, Regardless whether you're rich, you can be saved. There is no one that is exempted. All you have to do is offer the sacrifice. All you have to do is accept. All you have to do is catch the pigeon. Accept Jesus Christ.
I put some quotes there in regards to what's this merchandise, but I think we can just try to browse through it a little bit. Jesus did not drive out the doves. When Christ had expelled those who had sold doves, he had said, take these offerings hence. He had not driven the doves out as he had the oxen and the sheep. Why? Because they were the only offering for them. We gotta be careful, my brothers and sisters, not to drive the very poor in spirituality from the church. The church is supposed to be a place of comfort for people. I put those other quotes, it's in pastoral ministry, just talking about things that are going on in the church. We're not supposed to sell merchandise to you, to people for your personal need. The church is never a place wherein, I'm not going to read the quote, you can read it for yourself, you can get the notes from me later on, but for just time's sake. We're not supposed to use church to gain something personally, money-wise. The church is not meant to do that. Yet these money changers, these people that are in the temple, that's what they're doing. The priest, they said, man, I'm not making enough money, let's make money off of these people, of these sinful people. He goes on to say, it is a sacrilege to take $1 from God's treasury for yourself. You take God's money, he will judge you on that. Another quote I think is, If you're a minister of the gospel, you know, I love this church. And this church is just filled with volunteers. You know, if you're one of the volunteers of this church, if you want to volunteer, I mean, come talk to us, volunteer, we'll put you right at work. But it said there, you know, when you volunteer, your reward comes when the work is done. You will receive your reward. You will receive your reward. You're supposed to do things for free. You will receive. Now, I have a disclaimer, you know, some people sometimes often think that, man, like, church, you know, they always ask for offering. Isn't offering included in this? Isn't offering in that? No, my brothers and sisters, that's a very different thing. Offering is actually sanctioned by God. Some people are just too selfish to give their money. So when people ask offering, when church actually is asking for offering or solicitation, they don't want to give. When in reality, my brothers and sisters, you turn on the TV, you go out there, everything is asking for your money. McDonald's, Starbucks, everybody's asking for money. The thing is, we like what they're about to give us. We don't like what the church is going to give us. So there are, in reality, people are asking for your money all the time. Why be troubled when the church asks for offering, just a simple offering to help out the church, not for the pastors, but for the church? It's because of selfishness. We're selfish. I was like that. I said, man, everybody's just asking for money. And then I found out my heart was the problem. Because I was selfish. That's why I won't give to the church. Let's continue in the story of John chapter 2. The message is going to be simple today. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 2, let's continue on in verse 19. In verse 19. For some of you, it might be clear what the title is all about. Cleansed/born again. I'm praying that someone will be born again today. Yeah. Verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And then when Jesus told this to the people that are the money changers, the priests, they were baffled. What are you talking about? You know, destroy the temple, in 3 days you'll raise it up. It says in verse 20, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? We built this temple for 46 years. What are you talking about? Destroy it, destroy the temple, then you're going to build it up in 3 years? I mean, in 3 days? He continues on in verse 21.
That's the answer. Verse 21, the Bible says, but he spake of the temple of his body. When Christ said, destroy this temple, he was referring to himself. For they had just been talking of putting him to death. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? They were speaking of the temple at Jerusalem, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. Do you have that there? You don't have it there. His disciples remembered what he was talking about. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus' body the only temple? What else is the temple? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I think the memory verse was 6:16. That was read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. To memorize all the temple texts, 3:16, 6:19, 6:16. I don't know if you'll get it, but it works for me. But anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Our bodies are the temple of God. The memory verse said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me look at that quote. Hence we see in the ministration of Jesus Christ, when he was cleaning the temple, when he was cleansing the temple of filth, it actually symbolizes something else. In the cleansing of the temple, Jesus was announcing his mission as the Messiah and entering upon his work. Remember, this is in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He started off his ministry cleansing the temple. And it said there that that temple erected for the abode of the divine presence was designed to be an object lesson for us. We're supposed to learn something from it, for Israel and for the world. From eternal ages, it was God's purpose that every created being, from the bright and holy seraph of man to man, from angels to man, should be a temple for the indwelling Creator. Because of what now? Because of sin, humanity ceased to be a temple for God. In cleansing the temple from the world's buyers and sellers, Jesus announced his mission to cleanse the heart from the defilement of sin. How many of us has a heart that is defiled by sin? Defiled by filthiness. When Jesus did that, whenever you read back into that story, Jesus is making a mark. He's making a claim. He's saying, I can clean your heart. Do not worry about it. The poor can be saved. Don't worry about anything. I can clean your heart. Just come to me. I am the divine cleaner. It said here that Jesus announced his mission to cleanse the heart from the defilement of sin, from the earthly desires, the selfish lust. How many of us are selfish? The selfish lust, the evil habits that corrupt the soul. Jesus can clean your mind. As we continue on, I want to ask the question, what else did God call the temple? What else did God call the temple? Let's turn to the next passage, which is found in Isaiah 56, verse 7. What else did God call the temple? We're talking about cleansing. We're talking about the things that are supposed to be in the temple. It's not supposed to have money changers. It's not supposed to have dirty businesses. They're not supposed to have those things. What else did God call the temple? Hence, we will find what the temple is supposed to have. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. The Bible says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. You'll see it later on in the passage where Jesus calls it the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for mine house shall be called?
The house of prayer.
House of prayer. Now, let me give you an illustration. Never mind. In a house of IHOP, there you go, I remember this from Army. How many of you know what IHOP means? International House of Pancakes. It's a restaurant. International House of Pancakes. In International House of Pancakes, in a house of pancakes, when you go there, what are you going to expect? Pancakes! Totally! In a house of prayer, what are we supposed to be expecting? In the church, what are we supposed to be expecting? Someone comes up to us and says, you know, man, I sinned today. Can you help me? Instead of just saying, man, you're going to hell, let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Second application, our body is the temple of God. What is expected from us? What is God expecting from us? If we are a house of prayer, prayer. How often do we pray? In Steps to Christ, I believe. The pen of inspiration writes there, the angels are looking down at us. And he says, and she said there that the angels are wondering how come human beings aren't praying as much as we are praying. Jesus Christ, we find him praying all night, multitudes of times in the Bible. And here we are, what God calls the house of prayer. No prayer. How is our prayer life, my brothers and sisters? You know, my dad is really pressing on revival and reformation. That's never going to happen if we're not praying. It says, a revival need be expected only into answered prayer. It's never going to happen if you don't pray. It's never going to happen. You'll never grow love, a love for God, if you don't try to spend time with him in prayer. Also, they're not here, but you know, some people come up to me and they say, hey, JR, we need to do something, man. We need to do something in this church. We need to unite. We need to be united, man. And I said, you know, we did the, remember that? We did the surveys and we did all that and we tried to incorporate it in AY. And then the Lord impressed it into my heart. We'll never be united if we're not praying. What are we praying for? For the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can unite us as a church. We can try so many different programs, we can change everything a bit. Never gonna happen. Unity is never gonna happen if we're not asking for the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit, my dear brothers and sisters. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're not asking for that person that is supposed to be residing inside the house, your body, our body, someone else is gonna break in. And you know who that is. It's the enemy. As we come to a close, you know, some of you are probably thinking, man, I know this stuff already, man. I know this. Our body is the temple of God. Yeah. You know, Jesus Christ cleansed the temple. That means he can cleanse my heart. Some of you are probably sitting down. Yeah, you know, good message. It doesn't affect me. I was cleansed once. But then I defiled that temple. What can I do? What can I do? I'm sitting down here, you know, like I don't even like spiritual stuff anymore. What can I do? I was thinking that. God impressed that upon my heart. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. You probably have known this, but you will see it in a more powerful way because the Holy Spirit is here. Matthew chapter 21, beginning from verse 12. Chapter 21, verse 12. Beginning from verse 12. You probably have overlooked this when you read the Bible. You probably thought, oh, it's the same story as I've read before. Look at this. Matthew chapter 21, before I give you the background, Matthew chapter 21 is the time, it begins in Matthew chapter 21, wherein Jesus asked his disciples, hey, go to a person, ask for a donkey, and ask for a, what's this? Ask for a colt. Ask for two animals. Okay, and then that guy will just give it to you. They go, finds the donkey, and then now Jesus begins the end of his ministry. He enters into Jerusalem, and then remember that people had their palm branches and they're waving, Jesus Christ is here! Jesus Christ is here! This is the end of his ministry, and look what happens in verse 12. Look what happens again in verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, hence we quoted this, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. What did just happen? In the beginning of ministry of Christ, he began it, what did he do? He cleansed the temple. In the end of the ministry, what did he do? He cleansed it again, my brothers and sisters. Jesus cleansed it twice. What is the lesson for that? What is the lesson that we can get from that? Look, you and I probably have been cleansed once. We have been reborn. Yes, when I accepted Christ back then, I was a 10-year-old. I was a 10-year-old that was on fire for the Lord. I would go to my classmate and say, look, man, you know what's going to happen in the end? They're going to make a spit on the Bible and step on it and just disregard it. What are you going to do? Are you going to do that? And they said, no, man, like, I'm going to uphold the Bible. And I was just witnessing to my brothers and sisters, but somewhere along the road, I was not nurtured. I fell again. Fell numerous times after that. Most of you know what happened. I was a demonic child. But Jesus Christ gave me another hope. He says he can clean you again. I cleansed you once. I will clean you again. My brothers and sisters, do not negate the message saying, oh, so does this mean, JR, does this mean, preacher, that I can just sin and then because I know that Jesus Christ is going to clean me again. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the person, the very people that are in the pews, that are here right now, who probably are thinking, man, I'm so dirty now, I'm not even going to be cleansed anymore. That's the message. I'm not saying that if you go and, sin again after you've been cleansed, that's fine. That's not what it's saying. You'll see it later on. In the Bible, it says that God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Sometimes we think, oh man, yeah, I like David. Because David, you know what David does? Every time he messes up, he always asks forgiveness. That's why God calls him a man after my own heart. But he is a man after my own heart. Notice that. He's not a man with God's heart. The greatest people in the Bible that we always think of is Daniel, Joseph, because they obeyed. They never messed up. Superiorly, Jesus Christ. Victory all the way. But what I'm talking about is for those people. They saw the light before. But now it's dim. Can't even understand it. Can't even like spiritual things anymore. I was in the same place. Jesus Christ is giving us a message. I cleansed the temple twice in my ministry, and I can do it again in your life. Amen?
Amen.
In the Bible, for those of you advanced Bible students, have you ever thought why Ishmael did not get the blessing and it was Isaac? Are you thinking, well, you know, Esau did not get the blessing and Jacob got the blessing. Cain did not get the blessing. Abel did, but later on he died. Seth did. Have you ever thought of that? And then in the life of Joseph, his children, Jacob was blessing his grandchildren, the sons of Joseph. And then he put his hand over the younger one, which was Ephraim. And then what Joseph did, this is the younger one, put your hand here. And then Joseph said, no, I put it on the younger one. Have you ever contemplated why that is? And then the Bible talks about a first Adam and a second Adam. The message, the title of the message is Cleansed Again. Born again. You can apply this, you know, Jacob, Esau, Jacob, Cain, Abel, in your own life, in our own life, in my own individual life. Weren't we born once? And then what did Jesus say in John 3:3? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Born again. You and I has the same carnal heart when we are born. We have to be born again. The message of this is saying the same thing. You're born with a carnal heart. The firstborn, that's the first time you were born, pure evil. But you can be born again. You can be cleansed again. The power of Christ.
That's your dream work.
The miracle, the greatest miracle. The message was simple this morning. Amen? It said there, Jesus cleansed the temple twice. Do you need cleansing this afternoon now? Do you need cleansing this afternoon, my brothers and sisters? You know, the spirit of prophecy says your entire future will be influenced for good or for evil by the path you now choose. By the path you now choose. And I'm just going to make a very simple illustration. Last week, I was with Kathleen, with Anchel, and maybe some other people, maybe it's just Kathleen and Michelle. We were Bible working, we were handing out passages, and while we were driving home, Kathleen was like, you know what Kathleen said? She said, man, it's March already. Like, the March is almost here. I was like, what? It's only February, like 5, I think at that time, I said, and March is already here.
March is already here.
But interesting, because that's really true. Months is passing by very quickly. Days are passing by very quickly. I read a quote that your entire future will be influenced, whether for good or evil, by the path you today choose, now choose. The Lord is the great I am. He's not the great I was. He's not the great I will be. He's the great I am because He's the God of the present. What we choose today will affect us later on in life. What we choose in 2011 will either make us more evil in 2012 or more closer to God, or closer to God in 2012. And even more closer to God if we choose the right one in 2013. The message tonight is a message of renewal. The message this afternoon, is a message of being born. Maybe we don't even know what that means. But we know deep inside our heart, there is dirt. Jesus Christ is the divine cleaner, my brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ will clean that out. Let's bow our heads before I make the Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I believe it's in the spirit of prophecy. If not,